say that I am? Jesus asked that question in Matthew 16. Who do you say that I am? We're in the Christmas season. Next Sunday, we'll be having the Christmas program, children, and then some worship time. We'll be sharing a little more brief message to be sensitive to the holiday time. We'll be talking very specifically about God sending His Son. We'll be praying for the service next week. Children's program, we'll have some visitors. We'll have a high percentage of people here that don't know the Lord. So pray we'll have what we should have. Today, in asking God what we should have, not sure what all direction I'm going to go with this. I have some notes. I have some things on my iPad. We'll see. The question is in my mind for each of us. Who do you say? Jesus asked. Who do you say that I am? I believe that's a question that everybody has to answer at some point. It doesn't matter if you claim to be an atheist. It doesn't matter what you claim to be or not be. At some point in time, you're going to have to answer the question, who do you say that I am? I don't know why that question is so moving to me this morning. But I'm not going to rush it. Who is he to you? What are you going to do with him? It's no small thing for a Savior of the world to die for our sins. And it's an individual gift to each of us. What are you going to do with that? Who do you say that I am? I've been thinking about that question in my own life today and this week. Who are you to me, Lord? Best friend. Lord. Savior. Who do you say that I am? Peter was asked that question. I'm going to quickly read that and we'll refer back to the text. It's Matthew 16, 13 through 20. Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, we can get real theological with that passage, and I've preached, I don't consider myself some deep theologian, but I've preached on that passage and the meanings of the different words of God in Christ and the Messiah. But I'm going a direction, I believe the Holy Spirit is guiding me this morning. You are the Lord. You are the Messiah. You're the hope, the one we've hoped and looked for. You're the chain breaker that's going to break us out into a new life, and break us from the bondage of our past. But what I believe most of all is said in this passage is the declaration of lordship. What I believe, if you study this and the meanings of the various words, and we're not going to go that direction. It's a beautiful, beautiful theology to go into some of that, but we're not going to do that this morning. What I believe this is really saying, it has to do with the lordship. Who do you say that I am? And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, which this is the New King James I like for this particular passage. Son of Jonah is what Bar-Jonah means. Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. For I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's going to be awful easy for me to jump ahead here, but I want to share this part at the end of the message. But let me just say right now, that when we declare the lordship of Jesus Christ, there's some things that go with that. Well, you look what the Son of God said to Peter. Blessed are you. Oh, man, I'd love to have this said over me. And we do have it said over us when we declare the lordship of Jesus Christ. Who do you say that he is? Oh, he's a historical figure. I've heard about him. So that's who he is to you. Oh, I believe the Christmas story is true, and I do believe to a degree he's the savior of the world. I'm not that worried about it. I think before you die, you kind of got to get things ironed out with him. Is that who he is? Oh, most of the American church would say, he's my salvation. He's the one who died on the cross. Most of the American church would acknowledge that. Even those who differ greatly, and I think are off scripturally, will acknowledge the cross and the sacrifice of Jesus. And so most of America comes under the banner of, oh, who do you say I am? He's my salvation. He's the savior of the world, and I can be forgiven through him. But some would go so far even to say that, you know, God's my helper. He's my co-pilot. But there's another level that we're talking about this morning. And that is when you declare the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. And I think that's where many of us are balking. When you declare absolute lordship of Jesus Christ, you are not my co-pilot. And I've not seen that in anybody's window, so that's not directed at anyone. And I think it's great, any acknowledgement of God and Jesus, our Savior. I think any acknowledgement is good, and we're not going to be critical of anybody that's trying to acknowledge in any way. But he's not my co-pilot. He's the pilot. You with me? He's the pilot. I'm not so sure I even qualify for co-pilot. I used to think that when I was younger. You know, can I have a little fun for a minute? I've kind of gone through stages in my prayers. As a young man, I'm like, Lord, use me. You know, I think you probably rooted in, boy, I've got some things to offer. Haven't you seen them? You know, use me. Well, we went along for a while, and we hit trials in life and difficulties. We realized we weren't quite as good at this as what we thought, and so I began to say, Lord, come alongside me and enable me and help me. And that's a little more humble, a little better prayer. Come alongside me and help me. Now, Vince, I say, Lord, help me stay out of the way so you can get something done. Help me stay out of the way so you can get something done. Lordship. The theme of today's men's message is, and I believe it's so appropriate at Christmas. Next week, we'll go more the salvation direction. We'll have a lot of unsaved people here. Christmas Sunday. But today, we're talking about surrender and acknowledgement of Jesus as Lord. I want you to look again what Jesus said to him after he acknowledged the lordship and that he was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And what's interesting in the Greek of the New Testament is that a lot of times you have to look at the context of the verse. And you know, some people will read the verse where Jesus said, you say that I am. Are you the Son of God? You say that I am. Actually, that in the right context, that's you've stated a fact. You know, we kind of read it like he was handing them back the question. But actually, in the Greek, it's more you're stating a fact. And so it's interesting to study the context. This is an acknowledgement of lordship, of who he is, the Messiah, the reigning king, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And it's a very individual and personal thing. He has to become that to you. And I believe that's where a lot of us are on the fence. Why not make Christmas of 2018 the time to declare to everybody? Declare it at your workplace in your own way. You don't have to do it the way somebody else does it. Declare it. In fact, I've worried about that. I've given you assignments at times, and then I would think, man, I got to be careful there because everybody's personality is different, and God works in different ways with different people. Not everybody has to say it the same. But 2018, ending 2018, wouldn't this be a marvelous year to settle the question, who do you say that I am? And declare the lordship of Jesus Christ. I am taken back, and Now, at the end of the message, I'll say some things about this. I'm taken back by Jesus' response to that. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. He's talking to Peter, Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonah. For flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father that's in heaven. I say unto you, you are Peter. And upon this rock I build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give you keys to the kingdom. Tell me this isn't key. Tell me this isn't the real thing. He said, I'm going to give you keys to the kingdom. We're going to talk in a little bit. Just what are the keys to the kingdom? I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of God. How did this happen? Through declaration of lordship. Through declaration of lordship. We can spend our life wanting it. We can spend our life talking about it. We can spend our life making lists of what we want to be. But there has to be a time when we answer the question, who do you say that I am? In Tom Robbins' life, as father, husband, pastor, neighbor, who do you say that I am? That question's got to be answered individually. Nobody can answer it for you. But when you declare the absolute lordship, I'm talking about surrender, I'm talking about putting it all on the altar, why not let 28 end with a year that we say, I am going to put everything on the altar. All to Jesus I surrender. All to thee I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all. In the declaration of lordship, he says, Thomas, son of Jack. This is personal. He says, Thomas, son of Jack. He says, Brian, son of Michael. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven. And I am going to give you keys to the kingdom and the gates of hell. Oh, what if we go through the tribulation hour, Pastor? What if we see the opening of the seals in our lifetime? What if the gates of hell will not prevail against you? When do you think the rapture is, Pastor? Do you think we're going to miss that, or do you think we're going to go through? It doesn't matter. He gave you the keys to the kingdom. And death and hell have no power over you. I know from personal experience, and I've just had a little bit, but I know that the monster of fear at death's door dissipates in the presence of the Lord. I never slept so good in my life as that night they said I was going to die. I went to sleep with anticipation. I'm nobody. Good grief, I got ADD, OCD, and all of the above and everything else. I'm no strong person. You guys get to heaven, find out how weak I am, you're going to have anything. It's pathetic. You're going to say, that guy was our pastor? I'm proof God can use anybody. But I know he said to me one time, and it came when I declared lordship. I went through a brokenness as a young man that just ripped my heart to pieces. And Mr. Confident, that thought he could do anything, looked up and said, I'm helpless. All I can do is cry. I go punch in at work and go to my workstation, and I sit there and cry. People at work have come to me and said, we saw you kneeling down in the back room. We thought you were crying. We weren't going to buy. When I came to a place of brokenness and acknowledged the lordship of Jesus Christ in my life, he said, Thomas, son of Jack and Virginia, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Now, we can just hold them on a key ring our whole life. I'm not trying to be cute. But, you know, we can just walk around and say, you know what these are? Jingle, jingle, jingle. These are the keys to the kingdom. You're supposed to take them off there? And you're supposed to start unlocking some doors with them because he's a chain breaker? And he's unlocking some new horizons in your life? See, I do a new thing, he says in Isaiah. Doors open. Before us is a door. He wants to use you, an effectual, fervent door, but there are many adversaries, the scripture says. And we do have an enemy. And may I say to some of you that are struggling, that when you declare the lordship of Jesus Christ and you accept the bundle of keys of the kingdom, you're going to fight the enemy. I've had people say to me, I did that, Tom, and I just got beat to pieces. Oh, because he knows you're in on his territory then. Because he knows that you got power over death, hell, and the grave. He knows that the power Jesus had, he's imparting to you. You live in the power of the resurrection. So he starts just battering the daylights out of your flesh. So if you've made a commitment to lordship of Jesus Christ, the lordship of Jesus Christ, and you're getting battered, that goes with it. A church that insists with God's enabling and with God's anointing, insists on surrender and lordship, a church of that kind will get battered, 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 battered. Because you don't get the keys to death, hell, and the grave if you just play at this thing. If you just live lukewarm, you don't have those keys on your keychain. Does that make sense? There's times when I've whined to the Lord. Imagine that. There's times I've whined to the Lord. Oh, man, this is tough. Man, this is uphill. The Lord said, what'd you sign on for, son? What'd you sign on for? The servant's no better than the master, the scripture says. And they beat the master up pretty bad, didn't they? When the lordship of Jesus Christ was declared, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed you this, but the Father which is in heaven, I say in you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. I will give you keys to the kingdom. Oh man, look at this. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. There's a new level of authority. There's a new level of authority in the proclamation of lordship and the surrender of the will. This is painful stuff, you guys, but stay with me. When we come to surrender of the will, not my will, thine be done, there comes a spiritual authority in your life where you don't have to call 35 people, and there's nothing wrong with that. I do it all the time at the prayer circle. But you can go in the room at night at 2 in the morning. I've been there. I've dealt with demon possession in the family in the middle of the night, and there's nobody there but me and God. I remember one time, and I'll be very, very careful with this, when there's a demonic spirit at work, and I begin to pray with an individual, and the individual even screamed at me and said, there aren't enough, there aren't enough. And I said, there has to be. There's no. It's 2 in the morning. It's me and God. And we began declaring the name of Jesus, and that person fell limp, and that spirit left them. Am I saying that to you? I'm very cautious on those things. We've had a lot of those kinds of experiences. But the reason I'm cautious about it is because we've got a world out there that showboats that stuff, and it ruins it, and then God quits moving because it gets full of pride. But I've had some incredible experiences, and I say this with humility, that God would use a weak wimp like myself. Because in the flesh, that's what I am. But I'm going to tell you what, when you declare the lordship of Jesus Christ and get serious about this, you will have an authority. The root word of authority is author. And the better you know the author, the more authority he will impart to you. Now, the measure of a man is what he does with power. I've had that in my office for 35 years. If you question that, you'll see a laminated statement that I recently redid, but then taped to the door, you'll see a yellowed one off of an old index card, and that is 25 or 30 years old. I've had that saying, the measure of a man is what he does with power. I often will test someone that says they want to work in the church. We'll just give them a little bit of power and authority, and let's see what they do with it. Because the measure of a man is what he does with power. I was amazed and yet encouraged at Praise Mountain in Colorado, where I was fasting, when after the fourth day of being there on the mountain, alone with God, praying all day, every day, God said to me on the hillside in the pine needles, I'll never forget it, sitting there on that slope. It was a nice, wonderful, beautiful view in Colorado in the mountains. And I was all alone, and God said, you've broken through. We prayed for 4 days, and he said, you've broken through. Anything you ask me now, I will give you. Oh, my goodness. You talk about feeling the Spirit of God. He said, whatever you ask now, you have broken through. In case that's mysterious to you, stay with me. Small exit ramp here. Remember Daniel? He prayed and prayed and prayed. Finally, he got his answer. The angel said, the prince of Persia withstood me 21 days. I don't understand all that, but I know there's spiritual warfare. But on the fourth day of fasting, God spoke to me and said, you have broken through anything you ask. And on this thing of the measure of man's what he does with power, I got to say, honestly, and you've prayed for me, so I'll tell you, I was encouraged with my response. I found myself, I remember even my gesture. I went, oh, mercy, I got to ask the right things. What if I ask something stupid or something selfish or fleshly? He's going to give me anything I ask. I only ask for two physical things. The rest of the week was all spiritual. Some of you, a place to worship and to do the new season. And God stirred a couple to buy the church and give it, give this property to the ministry it's paid for. Prayed for very few physical things. Some of you know, but some of you don't. I can't pass this up because it's so fun. I did pray for a tractor. I did. I didn't have to be a new tractor, a fancy tractor. I don't need that. But I was always borrowing somebody's tractor and breaking it. Chris Edging, he was so good, he'd bring out his tractor. He never held against me. I was always hitting something with it or something. And I said, Lord, this is a physical thing, and I don't want to ask the wrong thing. You said you'd give me anything. Will you? Could you give me a tractor? I forgot it. You ready? Some of you don't know this story. I'm having fun. You ready? I went to McGrawsville Methodist Church to have a men's retreat. They asked me to be the speaker. Felt honored to be the main speaker for a men's retreat there, and had a lot of men signed up to come. It was actually a very difficult time because our son Alan had fallen from the church roof in Texas and was in intensive care, and Pam and I were down there. Pam was there 8 weeks. I was there six weeks. Almost canceled. Because I had every reason to cancel. I mean, if your son's in ICU and you're hundreds of miles away, that's a good reason to answer. But I kept saying to Pam, I've got to go back to that retreat. And she said, why? I said, I believe I'm supposed to be there. And I think part of that's for Dan Piper. I think there's other reasons, too. Was just in Dutch Cafe with the Smiths the other night. Man come up and said, aren't you the guy that spoke at the retreat? He said, that helped me. I did come back and speak at the retreat. I had three sessions. And power of the Lord was on me, as unworthy as I am. We're going through a hard time. Go ahead, take the extra step. Go ahead, do something in easy. Go ahead, stick with what God laid on your heart, and he'll show up. We had 3 days of messages, and I flew back to Texas to be with Alan in intensive care. While I was at the retreat, an elderly gentleman came up to me, and he said, could we get Garen have coffee sometime? I said, sure. I said, you know, got a lot going right now, but I'll get back with you. Well, I wrote down his number. Mark Kunkel is his name. And so when I got back, after Alan got better, we got back, I called him up and I met him at McDonald's. We're sitting there at McDonald's. He looks me straight in the eye and he said, this is going to sound really strange, but I need to tell you something. I said, well, he said, God told me I'm supposed to give you a tractor. That's the honest truth. You ask him. He said, God told me I'm supposed to give you a tractor. Of course, Doubting Thomas here, I said, what? And I had an awe come over me, Vince. I remembered on that hillside, God said, whatever you ask me, I'm going to give you. I did ask for a tractor. That guy brought me a tractor, big tractor, loader on the front, Eric, finishing mower. I'm like, can I, you know, it kind of seemed kind of menial to offer to pay for the gas. You know, what do you say? When somebody gives you a $10,000 tractor with the equipment, I'm like, you know, what I say? He said, nope. He said, it's the strangest thing in the world. He said, when we was at that men's retreat, he said, God spoke to me and said, give that man a tractor. And he gave me the tractor. Where in the world was I? Pam's not here to help me either. Get back on track. Lordship of Jesus Christ. I give you the keys of the kingdom. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Well, you know, I don't want to just go back and forth to church carrying my keys. I don't want to just go back and forth carrying my keys. You know, here, fastened here, I got one of them cool little Harley things, you know, that fastens on there, and you got your keys. Andy, I want to take those keys off that ring, and I want to start opening doors. And I want to see some new horizons, and I want to see some development in my life I haven't seen before. And I want to see some transformation. And then there's a key there hanging on that ring that says the authority of the Holy Spirit. But you got to keep a humility because the measure of man's what he does with power. And I was encouraged with myself, I need to say, and you were praying for me. But I was encouraged with myself when God said, I'll give you anything you want. I wasn't like, oh, is that so? Well, we'll take a swimming pool and a pink Cadillac, and how about $1 million? No. No, we're not going to play games when God makes big offers. But I'll tell you what he does want to do. He wants to give you authority over the enemy. This is one of the reasons that we will always get badgered as a church. So just buckle up and put on your seatbelt. We will always get badgered as a church because we are encouraging people constantly to take authority over the devil. You may not realize that because you've gotten used to it. There are a lot of churches where if you said to the pastor, we need to take authority over the devil, he would look at you and say, what do you mean? That's true. We're not setting ourselves up. There are other churches in our area that are declaring that too. We're not our four and no more. That's not where we're at. I grew up under Jack Robbins, and Jack Robbins was a very kingdom-minded man. He would go anywhere and speak. He never asked the denomination when he was called as an evangelist. But we do encourage you, by the power of Jesus Christ and in the name of Jesus, to take that key that says authority over the enemy. Oh, Pastor, the enemy has infiltrated my life. Take authority over the enemy. But that comes from a surrendered heart. The lordship hoops got to be jumped through. It can't be bypassed. We got to come to a place of surrender to Jesus Christ. Total surrender. Where we're sold out. I've got the cutest little colt. I'm trying to do the semi-retirement thing. And with Brian's help and Vince's help and everything, we're starting to get it done. So I got a little more free time. Give myself to preaching and study and prayer. No offense to anyone. I think retirement's a nice time to relax and enjoy things. But I'm not interested in going off playing golf or just hunting all the time. But there are things I enjoy that I think are healthy for me emotionally. I enjoy training a horse. All right. I sneak this in. There he is. Isn't very theological, but you know the first thing I'm teaching him? He doesn't want to be led. Okay, I probably shouldn't get on my hands and knees and act this out, probably, but it'd probably be inappropriate. But when you, come on, boy, front feet out. Sorry, if I'm not exaggerating. Holder's almost cutting his blood circulation. He will not give in. You know what he is like that? Worthless. Absolutely worthless. He's cute, but he's worthless. But yesterday, I'm praying for him. I said, Lord, help me. Every horse is a little different. I like horses. You know that. I've trained a lot of horses. Cody, Jake, and Pistol, the three brothers, are 20, 19, and 18. They're getting old like me. So I'm thinking, hey, I want to ride a few years yet, and the Lord's going to let me live to be 115, so I need to have a younger horse coming on. So this colt, I bought him 5 days old. 5 days old I bought him, and I know the guy down by Huntington and made friends with him years ago. In fact, where Cody came from, because I'm on the same bloodline. So he's a nephew to Cody. When I brought him home, talked to Cody. Pam thinks that's ridiculous, but Cody understands. I said, brought your nephew. Oh, is it? I said, it's your nephew. She said, I never thought I'd be married to somebody that talks to a horse. Now, my son Scott fusses with her on that and says, Mom, that horse is almost human. He said, I used to think Dad was exaggerating till I started riding him. He said, that horse is incredible. He said, that horse can read you. You know, Dave Hines, my prayer partner. We went to Brown County and Dave's horse was lame. And I said, use Cody. He used Cody. He said, everything you said about that horse is right. He said, I never saw anything like it in my life. He said, that horse can read your mind. I said, well, he is unusual. I agree with that. But anyway, this is his nephew. Isn't he cute? Okay. Try and teach him to lead. He ain't gonna do it. So we started, we're going to lower his head. I always make a horse lower his head. What I do is I stand right next to him, put my arm around him. He does not like that. He wants more personal space than that, but guess what? I'm the boss. He isn't. Anybody know if the Lord's in charge? Quit arguing with him. Don't let that devilish, scratchy noise distract you, because we need to get this. Be just like the devil to come along. We're talking about submission and cause trouble in the PA. Don't think he wouldn't. Okay, he'll be all right. Horses, when they're real young, don't want you up next to them. They're flight animals. They want to run. They want to get away from you. Okay, they don't like that. So I have a theory that you stretch them clear past. For example, I go so far with this theory of stretching a horse that if I have a horse that won't step in a puddle, I don't spend all day fussing Andre trying to get him to get in a puddle. I take him in the river. That stretches him so much, the next puddle, he's like, whoop-de-fizz, we'll go through a puddle. You know, he doesn't care. So I take Cody and put a rope around the saddle horn, put it on the colt. Cody's too big, he's 1,200 pounds. We just drag him in the river. He's blowing bubbles and everything else. We come back out, and I pet him, and I say, good boy. Now, we never had as much trouble with the PA. So there's a Christian principle here. Sometimes God will throw you into something that just stretches the living heck out of you. He'll throw you into a situation that just stretches, and you're like, what in the world? I never dreamed something like, anybody ever said that? I never dreamed something like this would happen. But 20 years from now, you're saying, Lord, if it wasn't for that experience, I wouldn't know how to cope. I wouldn't know how to help. You're using me in ways because I was hurt in ways that other people weren't. I remember when I went through the nervous breakdown at 20 years old, I said, Lord, how will I ever survive this? And you can say, oh, you exaggerate. You have to be exaggerating. Well, if I told you exactly what we went through, you'd go away and say, God, forgive me for saying he's exaggerating, because you don't know what I'm talking about, but went through something absolutely incredible that crushed me to pieces. Do you know that was the beginning in my life, Brian, of declaring lordship? George, that was the time in my life when I said, Lord, I give it all to you. Every bit of it. I have an advantage in that I got crushed early. I surrendered real early on. I did. I surrendered real early on. And I'll tell you what, don't put it off. Some people wrestle it their whole life. You know, it's sad to meet people that are 60, 70 years old and facing death, and it's as obvious as can be they've never surrendered. They got their jaw set, they're mad at all the doctors. Give it up, you know. God, is God in charge or isn't he, you know? Give it up. I'm not making light. I know things can be frustrating at times, but what he's trying to bring us to is surrender. Okay, back to the stretching. I just am all over a horse. This colt, I put my arm around him. I make him put his face right here. And I rub his ears, and I mess with his mane, and you don't like that. But guess what? Next time when you walk up to him, he doesn't walk away from you, because you've been so close to him, he's glad you're afoot, you know. We're working on lowering his head. I put my hand up through his mane and between his ears, and I say, lower your head. And I put pressure on him. Lower your head. Now, he doesn't understand English, but he understands sounds. And I say, lower your head, and I keep pushing, but not violently, just pushing. And when he gives a little bit, I let off and say, good boy. Well, last night, Vince, he lowered his head almost clear to the ground. God's trying to get us all to lower our head. I got my life. I will do what I want. And you'll be worthless. You'll be a pain in the behind. You'll be a pain in the behind to your family. You'll be a problem at the workplace. You'll be a problem in the church. In lordship is a humbling and lowering our head. But I'm going to tell you something. If you forget everything else I said, you remember. When you declare the lordship of Jesus Christ, who do you say that I am? You are the Lord Jesus Christ of my life, and I surrender everything. You're not my co-pilot. You're the pilot, and I surrender to you. He looks up at you and says, Tom Robbins, son of Jack and Virginia Robbins. What's in that identity? That's what we want. We want identity. That's why we all like that new chorus, I am a child of God. Identity. Do you agree that that's the problem in our culture, is we've lost identity. Nobody knows their family. Exit ramp. I'll come back. Years ago, you went to a church function in your horse and buggy. It took you a while to get there. You talked. You had service. You didn't have all these instruments and power. You sang together in unison. And then you stayed and you had a meal together. And your family was also part of that church. But there was identity in that because, like at family reunions at Christmas, oh, you look just like your Uncle Bobby. Look at you. Did you see Addison smile? When she smiled and turned her head that way, she looks just like Grandma Pam. I know she has blue eyes and blonde hair, but she looks her forehead, and when her side profile, do you, Addison, Tom and Tricia, do you see, oh yeah, we've said that different times, she looks like, identity, I belong to something. Are you with me? I belong to something. Families have melted down. The destroyer, the thief has stolen all that from us. We try to recreate it in the body of Christ, and the devil tries to bust it up all the time. We try to keep that. We try to get it in the body of Christ. The devil tries to bust it up all the time because he doesn't want you to have identity. Isn't it interesting if the first thing Jesus said is, you are Peter? Oh, so he didn't know that? I'm not trying to be cute. Did he know? He didn't know his name? No, it's bigger than that. You are Peter, son of Jonah, and on this rock, he declared identity in Christ. It's a great day when we come to Lordship. Said, you are Thomas, my son. You are Thomas, my son. Awesome, awesome thing. And I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. Surrender. Ooh, it's a hard thing. Lower your head. Lower my head. Can't make me do anything. This is my life, and nobody's going to tell me. Yeah, so how's that working out for you? I've had different people, I've said that. They come in, they got an absolute mess of life. They've written their own rules all the way. Still got the stiff neck telling the preacher right off. They're not going to give on anything, so no use telling them. Okay, and how's that working out for you? You know, your life's in absolute shambles. You've destroyed most of the good things God has given to you, so how's that working out for you? Not trying to be smart like me. God knows what he's doing. He'll put things together. He'll give you the keys to the kingdom. Man, I'm excited about it. I'm just scratching the surface on what the keys are. But I tell you, I don't want to just walk around and see my keys. Have you seen my keys? These are my keys. Let's do them jingle. No, those keys are for a purpose. They're to open up new things in your life. They're to provide new horizons. And there's a key marked authority. Authority over the enemy. There's the key of his wonderful presence. It's through surrender that we bring a presence. It's in surrender we'll bring the precious Holy Spirit. You will never have the fullness of the Spirit without emptying out and surrendering your will. You can bark about spiritual gifts all you want. You can read the whole book of Corinthians to me, and you can crow all you want. But I've lived long enough and read enough scripture to know that you don't get the fullness of the Holy Spirit till you come to a place of surrender of your will. Not my will, thine be done. Then it's all of a sudden, you look at it different. It's the song Allie and Brian sang. He said, oh, I'm sure if I need the gifts, I want the giver. Yeah, the healing would be nice, but I want the healer. Get that right, but what's cool is when you connect with the healer, a lot of times he'll go ahead and give you the healing. I don't know that this is scriptural. In fact, I don't think it is scriptural because the Bible says desire spiritual gifts. But Pastor Dick Bishop used to lean over the pulpit and look at all those young guys that were eager and excited, and he used to say, it isn't polite to ask for gifts. My mom and dad taught me that. He liked to rattle cages. Now, that isn't actually scriptural because it does say desire spiritual gifts. So, but I know what he was doing there. What he was saying is, you know, we were all gung-ho, man, we want this, we want that. And he's looking at how stubborn and hard to get along with we are. And he's thinking, you got some bigger issues to work with, son. You need to get acquainted with the healer before you're worried about all the healings. And sometimes God will take you in your wretchedness and just do something for you. So don't. God's in charge. He'll take you in your wretchedness and your stubbornness, and he'll just do something marvelous for you. It's true. So we don't want to put God in the box here. You can say, well, I know somebody who wasn't even close to God, and God did a miracle. Yeah, God will. He'll turn water to wine sometimes, and he just does it. But you know what's cool about that? Look at how we're looking at it. That's okay. He's in charge. He's in charge. Let me go a step farther. Now, I didn't pay a bit of attention to my notes. Let me go a step farther. Brett and Denise, I want to apologize to you that I didn't mention your daughter and granddaughter at prayer time. I should have done that, you guys. I'm sorry I thought of it, but what was I talking about? Oh, you and I grew up in a similar era. I'm older than you are, but we grew up in a similar era. The generation I grew up in, listen, this is important. This is tied to surrender. The generation I grew up in, Howard and I grew up together. The generation we grew up in was rebellion against God. Okay? The Woodstock generation, John Kay from Steppenwolf, gets up at a concert, sings GD, the Pusher, and everybody's cheering because somebody finally had the guts to curse out in front of everybody, and thousands of people cheer. Another band member gets up and shouts, I don't even like to use the letter, but shouts, give me an F, and I don't even like saying that, but I shouldn't have said it, but I'm going to put the suggestion, but and hundreds of people shout in response. It was rebellion against God. We've entered, why is this message so important? Because we've entered a new era now. This generation says, I am God. If I want to be a woman, I'll be one. God ain't going to tell me what my DNA is and isn't. Might as well shake your head this way. My generation was rebellion against God, and that was ugly, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, says that Samuel. That's horrible. But these last two generations need surrender messages more than anybody I can think of. Because my generation was rebellion against God, in God's face. I'll do what I want. You don't tell me. I'm not lowering my head. I'm not going to be led. That horse would be worth it. If I can't get that horse to lead and lower his head and put a saddle on him, Eric, he's worthless. He might be cute, but he's worthless. But I'll tell you what, he's a nephew to Cody. And if he follows Cody's footsteps, Tom rode Cody one whole afternoon, my son Tom. He said, Daddy, I'll say one thing. I said, well, he said, your horse is dead broke. You know what that means? He's dead broke. He said, I got off of him, and three of the grandkids hopped up and sat on him. Then I took a saddle off of him, and they got up on him bareback, and whatever they want to do, he just did. He's dead broke. You listening? I want somebody to say to the Lord, have you seen Tom? What do you think? And he's going to say, Tom's dead broke. He's dead broke. Oh, he kicks once in a while. He nibbles on stuff he shouldn't once in a while. He gets ticks once in a while when he's out in the woods. You with me? Doesn't dehumanize you. He's got some faults. His mane's got some chunks out of it. Kind of got a long, ugly head. Talking about Cody. When talking about myself. Have you considered my servant Job, God said to the enemy. Oh, yeah. He's upright. He follows me. Well, sure, and why wouldn't he? Because you baby him all the time. You give him anything he wants, and he says, put the pressure on him, he won't buckle. I want God to say that. I'm not interested in any pressure. Not too much. I'm pretty wimpy. So I'm not asking for trouble, but I do want to be trusted at that level. And sometimes having trouble brings that. But are you with me? I want God to say he's dead broke. That's what Tommy said. He said, I'll say something for those horses you've worked with. They are dead broke. They are dead broke. If Black, I named him Black. Hey, where'd you go? I named him Black because he's totally black. And I lost a horse. I got too many stories, but I had a horse named Trigger that you may have seen in my office on picture. And Trigger was black with a white mane. And we had to put Trigger down. I had to bury him in the backyard. And I was so sad. He got an infection in the bone and the leg, and he had to be put down. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, it's up to you. Surrender. It's up to you. I'd like to have another black horse if I could. I went down. My buddy from hunting called me. He said, I got a new colt. He said, you might want to see him. Because I told him I wanted a nephew to Cody if I could. Because he has lots of colts in the spring. And he said, he's all black. Oh, I drove down there, bought him. He said, I'll keep him till he's weaned, then you can come get him. And I went and got him the other day. But if he follows in Cody's footsteps, Cody's the finest horse I've ever seen anybody have. I'm not saying that bragging. I'm just saying, as far as general, if you think that's all wrong, some of you know horses, you take him for a couple weeks, and you ride him, and you put him in bad situations, and have him in something where you're threatened, and he'll protect you. That's what Dave said about him. Dave said, I couldn't believe the way he'd protect me and put himself on the line and take the side of the creek that wasn't, and watch my legs so I wouldn't get hit. And but if you don't lower your head and you won't be led, I'm sorry, it ain't going to happen. You can tell all the horse stories you want with emotion. But if you won't learn to lower your head, the other thing I'm doing is picking up his feet. This should be the horse sermon. I'm picking up his feet. Horse is a flight animal. You try to pick up a colt's feet, he goes nuts. First time I grabbed his feet, he went straight up in the air, tried to strike at me. He won't do that again, but that's another story. He's a flight animal, so his defense is I can run. He doesn't want to surrender his feet. When a horse starts surrendering his feet, plus the shoer appreciates it if you teach it. Keith will verify that. So I've taught my horses, you pat them on the leg, and they raise their hoof. They raise their foot. I don't know if they do it for Keith, they do it for me. When you surrender your feet, Lord, all my escapes I give to you. I'm not going to run off. I'm not going to run off. I surrender my feet. You with me? You with me, Hollis? I surrender my feet. I had this idea, I'm going to take care of myself. Oh, really? No, let's surrender our feet. You know, let's lower our head. Let's allow ourselves to be led. We got a church that's packed with people in America that are fighting the surrender thing, and they can't figure out why the keys aren't working. That sounds like a good quote. The American church is full of people who have not come to a place of surrender. They will not lower their head. They will not surrender their feet. But they can't figure out why the key. This key was supposed to work. The key of the kingdom. It does not work in this door. The surrender of our will brings the Holy Spirit as we then begin to seek. Does it make sense that a vessel has to be emptied to be filled? Yeah. It's got to be emptied. Now, some of you are going through the emptying process. And that's painful. That's painful. The emptying process, where God's letting you go from one situation to another, where you're just getting squeezed. But what's that doing? When you get squeezed, the impurities come to the top. And he can skim them off. So the squeeze is on, and that is a season. And this is another topic of too much for today, but you don't want to rush that season either. You want to come to total surrender for sure. But there's value in the process and the squeezing. So what am I saying to you? Don't buck that. As he squeezes you, go ahead. Go with it. Lower your head. Surrender your feet. My avenues of escape, I give to you. I cannot run off. You got a hold of my foot. A horse cannot take off charging on three legs. Surrender my feet. Lower my head. It's through. The Holy Spirit will use us. All right. I had a bunch of other stuff. Who do you say that I am? Got to answer the question. All your historical figure I've heard about you. I believe there's truth to it. I believe he existed, and I believe he was good, and I believe he was a prophet. Oh, really? No, I believe he came and died on the cross, and I believe he is the Savior of the world. And I'm trying to hook him on here. He's my co-pilot. You know, we're going to kind of be pals, and, you know, I got a cross around my neck, and I believe Jesus was the real deal, and I believe he can really help you, and come death time, you need him. Bigger than that, to have identity, you are Thomas, son of Jack and Virginia. I'm going to build on you, son, because he starts using you in the king. I'm going to build on you, and the gates of hell aren't going to prevail. It's going to be solid. It ain't going to be wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to be gold, silver, and precious stones. And I'm going to give you keys to the kingdom. We're going to close with a song. We about sung you to death today, but we're going to sing one more. And no pressure, but I just feel like we'll just sing it with the acoustic guitar. And if you want to pray, maybe for a need in your own life, or maybe God through the message today showed you something. I know we already had open altar. We're not just trying to call you at the altar all the time, but you know, this is pretty heavy stuff. Everything hinges on this. Everything hinges on this. Surrender the will, open our heart. Maybe you want to receive more of God's Spirit in your life. Don't make work out of it. Just say, Lord, empty me and fill me. I want the precious partner in my life. I want the precious partner. I want to get him off of here, and I want to get him in here. This is nice, and it's cute, and I've preached with it to illustrate it, that he's our partner, and he is. Paraclete, Greek word. Paras, where we get parallel. Okay? So there's a truth there. That wasn't false teaching. But the heart of the gospel is him coming here. Out of the heart come all the issues of life. We start operating out of the Holy Spirit instead of our tainted ideas, our opinions, our self-will. Important stuff. You just remain seated. I know it's humbling to, when everybody's seated, to stand up, come kneel, but if you feel like you got surrender issues, you got something in your life, or maybe you feel pretty surrendered and you want to seek God's Spirit in your life, ask him. Ask him. He's ready and anxious.
Jesus, I surrender.
on the things that have been shared this morning, analyze it in your own heart. I'd encourage you to make a prayer list from the message this morning. Lord, I see things in myself. The Bible says that the Word of God is a mirror, and we look into it. In James, it says, you know, we can look into it and say, oh, well, and off we go. Or we can look into it and we can say, you know what, I see this, I see this, I see this. I'd encourage you to make a prayer list. The victory in 2019, the victory in 2019 will be determined by this issue. The level that we surrender and open our heart to the Holy Spirit. We can't do this thing by ourselves. Someone came to me and said, I can't live the Christian life in a factory. And I said, oh, absolutely. They were shocked. By yourself, you can't. But with the enabling of the Holy Spirit, you can be victorious. We can't do this thing by ourselves. We can try and try and try. And that can even be self-will. I'm going to do it. I'm going to whip this thing. No. When we say, I can't whip this thing, it's whipping me. Lord, I surrender to you. A grace comes. The author who wrote Amazing Grace got this. Because it's amazing how God can work us through our troubles. Let's stand together for prayer. Lord, thank you for this special Sunday. Thank you for the encouragement that came from the songs today. Thank you for the message. Thank you for each one here. Work in our lives, work in our hearts. I know there's a lot of people, maybe they didn't come forward for one reason or another, but that doesn't mean you're not working in their lives or they're not open to what's being said. Or I would pray that you bring us all to a place of full surrender. I realize this is a hard message. I realize this probably isn't probably a popular message. But it was you who said that unless a man take up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. And the cross is a place of surrender. It's a place of death to self. At baptism, we often say, we died our old life. We come back in the power of the resurrection. It's in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, my own life, I'd ask this week, help me to see if there's an area I'm not surrendered fully to you. Give us patience as you work through us. Some are in that process of the squeeze is on. Help me stay at it. Don't bail. Don't bail. Hang on. God will bring us through and out on the other side. And we'll be strong in Him. Thank you for your love, grace, and mercy.